May 13th, 2007. That's when I'm recording this. This is show number 225. My name is Larry Herbeck, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading my show. I just want to remind you that this show meets airport security guidelines. Thank you, MonkeyDude22, for that disclaimer. Anyway, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day in many parts of the world. That's what I'm recording this. Not sure when you're going to listen to this, but hopefully you called your mother on Mother's Day. Of course, I'll put a link up to the Wikipedia article on Mother's Day. The majority of the world has Mother's Day today when I'm recording this on May 13th. So if you haven't called your mother, maybe you should. So go ahead and do that. A lot of activity this week in Xbox land. The Dash update was probably the biggest one that a lot of people have had questions about, have seen go up. I mean, there's just been so much going on. I'm going to try to go over most of it. But the Dash update, which is, a lot of people have talked to us about not calling it a spring update or fall update because it alienates the folks in the other hemisphere. So I'm trying to get a movement to call people, to have it call the May update or the I don't want to say fall update, but maybe it's the holiday update. I don't know. But normally, if you're new to the Xbox 360 platform, we usually do updates twice a year. And these updates they're actually pretty small in size. They're, I think, between 5 and 6 megabytes, in terms of you download it. And then, if you went through it, you know what it's like. You download it. It applies, you reboot, and you're done. You're literally done with usually in between 30 and 45 seconds once you reboot. I mean, it's pretty darn quick. So there's a lot of cool stuff in this update that you probably should be aware of. One of them, if you haven't taken a look at it already, is the Messenger integration. What that means is that you can when you sign into Xbox Live, you have the option of signing into the gamer tag that is associated with, the Windows Live ID that is associated with that gamer tag, and then you'll be online to your Messenger buddies because maybe some of your Messenger friends aren't on Xbox Live yet, and you can communicate with them. So it's really quite simple. In fact, right after you take the dashboard update and sign into Xbox Live for the first time, you probably notice that a little kind of wizard thing pops up and says, hey, these people aren't on your friends list, but they're on your Messenger list, and they have Xbox Live. Do you want to add them? So we kind of try to help you out there in terms of the social networking, use those air quotes. A couple of other questions that I've seen out in the community, and I posted some links to this up on the blog around the Messenger FAQ, was a lot of the screenshots that we released about a month ago, and even on Xbox.com they show this. You'll see a little like a black window that opens up in the middle of the dashboard, and a lot of people have asked how to get that. Well, what you need to do is you need to attach a USB cable, USB keyboard to your Xbox 360, any one of the USB ports. And then there's keyboard shortcuts. So you can use, if your keyboard has a Windows key or even an Apple key, this will work with an Apple keyboard as well. That's what I have in my office. You can press Apple key or Windows M, and it'll take you to the Messenger tab where you can sign in. Or if you want to start a conversation after you're signed in, press Windows M, and it'll take you to the Messenger. So there's a couple other things to do. You can, if you have an open conversation, you can press Windows M, and it'll open the chat box right over the game, or the movie for that matter. And you can it'll show you the last few lines of the active conversation, and you can go back and forth. You can also switch between conversations in the chat box mode. So if you hit the control key and the right arrow, you can go through, you can cycle through the different ones. So the other thing to know is that you can actually open the guide with your keyboard. And I don't know if a lot of folks knew this, but using your keyboard, either the Windows key or the Apple key will actually cause the guide to slide open. So check a look at that. And then, of course, later on this summer, where is mine? Later on this summer, we will introduce the text interface device. I don't even know what they're calling it, but it's this cool little thing that I've got in my hands right now. And it's even cooler because when you use this device, when this device goes on sale and you plug it in, just snaps in the bottom here. And when you plug this thing in, when you get a chat, there's actually a little buddy icon that will flash. And it's kind of cool. So you don't even have to worry about that. You've probably also noticed that as well, that on your console, when you receive an IM, the little chat and IM section kind of pulses a little bit orange, and you know that you've got something pending. So that's kind of what's going on with the Messenger. All right, let's take a look at some of the other features that shipped in the Xbox 360 dashboard update this week. You'll notice when you look at achievements now, or when you earn an achievement, it'll pop up and it'll tell you kind of the amount of gamer score you got in the first few, the first few characters of what it was called. So it's usually like the friendly name, five gamer score for whatever. So anyway, that's kind of cool. The there's some family settings that are enabled. We talked about this last week on the show. E mentioned this where you can set those on Xbox.com when you log in with your Windows Live ID. You can flip the little switch that will allow you to use video settings, similar to the way voice is, in terms of you can have blocked, friends only, or everyone. So you can now do that with video. You can do it on Xbox.com for a few weeks. Now you can do that in the console. There's also probably the most obvious thing you'll notice is that there is a Marketplace Blade now. So we've always talked about this since the Xbox 360 launch, is that we had the ability to add a couple more blades in, and we've added one. This one is called Marketplace, obviously. And it's got all your pieces in there, so it's really one place instead of having to go to maybe over to media and down to one place, or maybe over to Xbox Live and then, you know, messages, friends, Marketplace. We just moved it all into one place for you. So pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Let's see, I'm just pulling up the list right now. There's a there's a lot of arcade stuff going on that that was increased and made a little bit better for you. The one of the things that they liked is the arcade team worked on this was now you can see what your friends are playing now. So if you have any friends online that are playing Messenger games, you can actually go in there and hit that, and you can kind of see what they're playing now and kind of what their status is. There's a new option also for auto downloads. Up until this point, pretty much based on new releases, but now we have an additional toggle called All Free Games. So the way you get in there is just go over to the Games Blade and punch in on Xbox Live Arcade and go to turn down all the way down to the bottom, auto downloads on, and then tell it what you want. Do you want to turn it off? Do you want to have all new releases or just all or all free and trial games? So that's something to look at. Let's see, we've got download games. Of course, we'll go in there. I'm actually going through my my home dashboard right now, so you guys can see what. So I can tell you exactly what about it is. The other thing I want to talk about is the low power mode. And, you know, this probably would be a good place to do Xbox 101. So I'm going to put Xbox 101 right at the top of my show.
Xbox 101with Major Nelson.
Xbox 101. So after you take the spring update over Xbox Live, and before I get started, I also want to say this update will be available if you don't have Xbox Live, if you're not on Xbox Live. First of all, it's available to Silver and Gold members. But if you're not on Xbox Live, then this update will actually start appearing on discs in the future. So once you pop a disc in, it will actually do it. It will actually do the auto update right off the disc. It'll be pretty straightforward, the Dash update. But what I want to talk about right now, and I spelled this out on my on the blog when I was talking about it earlier this week. If you sign into Xbox Live, and actually you don't even need to do that, but it helps. Go over to the System Blade, punch in on consoles, and I want you to go down to Shutdown. There's two options in Shutdown. There's auto off, and then there's background downloads. What auto off does, which has always been there, is it basically turns off your console automatically after 6 hours of activity. So you can enable or disable that. The new one is called background downloads, and that, of course, is something that we've always had. And what will happen is when you've got your background downloads enabled, so there's active downloads, which kind of happen, and they happen in the background. You can have up to six of those. But what background downloads does is as you queue your downloads up, and you say, okay, I want to download this demo, this trailer, this video, this new content, and so forth, what you can do is you can actually shut your console down. And when you shut your console off while it's doing the background downloads, it actually goes down into a deep sleep. A low power mode, and it will continue to download in the background. So it basically shuts everything down but what it needs to do the download. And you'll notice that your console is in low power mode and downloading, because when you turn it off, it looks like it turns off, but the power light in the very middle of the ring of light, the power light will actually blink every few seconds. Probably not that quickly, but it will blink. And then when the downloads are all done, it will shut itself off. So this is a real handy if you're in the United States and you want to download some high def video marketplace content, you can set it up maybe overnight, go to sleep, and then your machine will download and automatically shut itself off. Real straightforward. So, but you do need to turn that on. Again, the way you get there is you're going to go over to the System Blade. You're going to go into console settings, shut down, and then there's background downloads is enable or disable that. So that's my Xbox 101 for this week, literally right at the top of the show. A few more. There's a lot of little changes in here. We had some fit and finish, some things that we like to do. One of the ones that I'm probably most excited about, because I've been pushing for that for, I don't know how long, I would have to say probably since we launched, in some of the early mock-ups of the Xbox 360 screens that you've seen, there is a we were showing you what game was in the console. Well, we do that now. So if you've got an Xbox 360, and here's a hint, it also, I've mentioned this in the past, it also works with original Xbox games. So if you have any type of Xbox disc, Xbox 360 disc, or an original Xbox disc in the console, when you boot it up, you'll actually see that name right there. So that's pretty straightforward. One of the other cool features is if you've got a disc in the tray, in addition to telling you the name of it, when you go down and select, kind of have the tray highlighted with the game name, in the right-hand side on some of the blades, like the games blade, it will tell you, and the media blade, it will tell you some details about that game. So it'll tell you your gamer score off that game and the last few achievements that you earned. So that's kind of a new feature we've got there. Boy, I'm just going on and on about this. I didn't realize that this would take so long. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see. The name of the game is displayed in the dashboard. I'm just going through this list. This list is up on Xbox.com, and I'll let you go ahead and do that. There's a bunch of video updates as well. We add support for video playback. There's just a bunch of different video playback pieces. And I'm actually going to see if I can get somebody on from the video playback team to talk about the video playback pieces here. But there's a lot of stuff going on. There's what they call trick modes, fast forward, rewind, when you're downloading video marketplace content. There's a lot of skip forward and backwards functionality. There's a whole ton of stuff that has been updated. And I'll put a link to that up on the blog because it's really worth going over. So big dashboard update, not the spring update. I guess we'll call it the May update. So that's the May update, and hopefully you're enjoying a lot of those. I know a lot of people have some questions about the Messenger feature and your live ID and your Messenger and who can use it and who can't. I'll put a link up to some FAQs on that as well. Let's see. One of the other big pieces of content that went out this week, all right, we'll move on past the dashboard, is the Crackdown content. And I was able to post the huge list of what this thing is. There's three pieces to it. There's the auto update, there's the downloadable content, and there's premium downloadable content. So the first package is free, and then you can go get the second one. You have to take the auto update, the title update, that's mandatory, and then you don't have to purchase or download anything else. They're completely up to you. But if you want to get a great experience with Crackdown, I suggest you take a look at it. Now, there is a little bit of a thing I need to, and I'll point you over to this. There's a little weird. I don't want to call it a bug, but I guess it is a bug, where some people are saying that they're having some problems with some of their save games when they download it. So there's a link over to the official Crackdown forums where Agent G has posted details about that, and just to make sure you have a trouble-free gaming experience. So that's probably good for you to know. Let's see. So Crackdown's out. We'll get to that in a second. Forza Motorsport 2, that demo dropped. People are pretty excited about that. They've hooked up their wireless wheels, and they're giving it a go-around. A lot of folks have messaged me and asked me if I'll be playing Forza 2. I will be playing Forza 2, but traditionally I suck at driving games. And it's not that the driving games suck. I suck. And the reason why is I have no concept of easing off on the accelerator. So what tends to happen in racing games, off the mark, I will go. At the first turn, I'll slam into the wall, and then I spend the entire rest of the game looking at people's taillights. And then I always come in last. So it's a problem I have, but I did the same thing in Forza 2. It's my own problem, and I will deal with it. But Forza 2 is coming. Forza Motorsport 2 is coming out. Demos, free demo up on Xbox Live for you to download. Go ahead and take care of that. So it's just a lot of content going on this week. There's some other content for Graw, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. There's some good content there about that. I mean, I can't even keep track of it sometime. This putting the content, what's available on Marketplace, the videos, the demos, the downloadable content, that takes a lot of time, you know, in terms of for me to go through and figure out what's up there. So I spend a lot of time throughout the week posting that. You know, I just want to make sure that you guys get that information. Oh, boy. Let's see what else. So the thing I was talking about that I just skipped that we're going to go back to is the Halo 3 beta, which is coming up this coming week for everybody who, speaking of Crackdown, who has the Crackdown. They'll be able to drop that disc in and access it through Crackdown to download the beta. There's a Bungie has a friends and family program that they're working on. I'll put a link off to Bungie.net where they have invited everybody who works for Bungie gets to invite some folks into the beta. I don't have any. I don't work for Bungie, so I don't have any. I don't have any friends and family invites. So I apologize for that. You'll have to go talk to Frankie and Sketch about that. But go hit them up for some friends and family codes. But been playing that. In fact, Bungie.net lit up their Halo 3 statistics, so I'll put a link to my statistics, which probably aren't very good. But I'll put a link to that up. So the Halo 3 beta, friends and family, is happening over this weekend, and of course the Crackdown portion of the beta will kick in this week. So, you know, I want to say it's Wednesday morning. But I'll put a link up when that happens, of course. Speaking of Halo 3, I'll be going to LA this week. There were some events on Friday night in San Francisco and New York for media. There were some media events. You probably saw these. Did you see the Halo Zune? I thought it was kind of cool. I think Gizmodo had a link of that. Apparently they gave some of these out over at the media events. Haven't seen them in person yet. I've just got my lowly Zune right here, and but the Bungie, or excuse me, the Halo Zunes are I assume they're going to sell them. Haven't told me otherwise. But so those events were on Friday night, and then this week on Tuesday night, I'm be flying down to LA for a private event. Unfortunately, I can't get you in if you live in the LA area, so please don't message me. But there's a private event that Bungie is running that I'll be traveling down to do videos for Xbox.com. So I am but a guest. It is not my party. But I'll be there with whatever Hollywood celebrities will be there as well. So I don't know. Do you think Paris will be there? Or do you think she'll be in the lockup by then? Who knows? But we'll see who's going to make it to that cool party on Tuesday night. And then I'll be posting some videos up on Xbox.com shortly thereafter. So we'll get that up there. So that's Tuesday night. So I'm going to try to get some of the guys on from Bungie. I was supposed to get them on for this show. But, in fact, I haven't even talked about the interview that I have for this show. Well, I'll just be rolling that in just a minute, so you'll figure that out. But you've probably figured it out from your metadata. But I was supposed to get somebody on from Bungie, but Frankie and Sketch, they were too busy flying around, doing this, doing that, and they just haven't had much time. So we are, I'll see if I can get them on this week. Let's see what else we have going on. Forza Motorsport 2, talked about that. Hey, PGR 3, a lot of folks have been asking about PGR 3. There's some information about that finally out. Specifically, and I'll put a link to that over to the Gamerscore blog press release. They're going to talk about the new dynamic weather system, and there's a cool HD video up on where is it? Oh, it's up on Team Xbox. It's up on Team Xbox. So that's kind of coming up. PGR3. I don't even know if they've announced that, but they're just talking about the weather, the dynamic weather system, where we'll pull weather in from what's really going on. Also, next week on Xbox Live Arcade, Solitaire games. Saltrio Solitaire is going to be available around the world except for Korea this week for 800 Microsoft points. There's a lot of Solitaire. Apparently there's 18 different Solitaire games. So if you like Solitaire, then, well, this package is for you. Get your Solitaire. Okay, do we have to talk about that? I guess we kind of do. I did a videotape a couple weeks ago. I'll put a link off to this about Viva Pinata, and that's all I'm going to say. Viva Pinata, go take a look at the video I did. This is actually an interesting story. Moving on past Viva Pinata, there's a story in Variety magazine or Variety newspaper, and if you don't know what Variety is like the big. It's kind of like the, for lack of a better term, the joystick of the entertainment industry. You know, it's the big thing that everybody reads down in Hollywood. And this one talks about how when Hollywood executives, the younger executives, want to network, they go online. They don't go to a bar. They actually come on Xbox Live and play games. So I thought that was really interesting. Do you have any young executives out there? Who are you? I want to know who you are. Let's give out your gamer tags. But they're doing deals over Xbox Live. I think that's cool. So that's a fun thing. But I talked about the interview that I have, and I'm really excited about this interview. Without further ado, let me just present Brian Reynolds, who is a gaming legend, and his company developed Catan. All right, Catan fans, I'm on the line with Brian Reynolds, who's the CEO and creative director of Big Huge Games, the developers behind the hit game Catan. Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure to be here.
So it's really an honor to have you on the line because I've Catan shipped on the Xbox Live Arcade a couple of weeks ago, and I have simply been a big fan of the game now. I wasn't really aware of it before, and I want to talk to you about the game specifically, how you took a hit board game and how did you make the migration into the video game space. Tell me about that.
Okay, that was pretty interesting because obviously at the time that we embarked on doing Catan Live, the Xbox Live Arcade content at that point was, there wasn't anything of this type. And at that point, there wasn't even Uno yet.
Right.
So we really hadn't even seen the whole card game thing take off and be successful. But we really thought that because Catan is one of those brilliant games where you can teach somebody to play really quickly and they can jump right in and have a good time, that it would be appealing to the casual side of the audience. But at the same time, we also know that the board game is a game that even people that play a whole lot of board games also feel like has enough meat to it to be interesting. So it's a nice bridging game between those two groups of players. And we thought it might actually find both of those audiences on Xbox Live Arcade. Now, the challenge for us was, first of all, would we be able to do a good, clean job of displaying the board and the game conditions in the resolution requirements for, obviously, some people are going to have tiny little TV sets.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like we solved that problem pretty well right off the bat, and we were confident, oh, look, it actually is pretty readable. We bought the world's tiniest television set and made everybody in the company have to come play on it.
Right.
And that helped us solve that problem.
Now when you say that problem, so it's a matter of how do you take a game that translates well onto the tiny TV all the way up to somebody that could be playing on a 72-inch projector?
Exactly.
And how did you, when you say that, is it the font on the screen? Is it the map? Is it the characters? Is it all things combined?
Well, the biggest issue is the map and the pieces on the map, because of course, Catan, when you play the board game, has these beautiful tiles and these nice wooden pieces and so forth, and it's really fun to play the game because the pieces are so great to pick up and look so nice and feel so nice. And it would be important, we thought, to recreate that on the 360 for everybody. Obviously a lot easier for the super high-res widescreen guys than for somebody with a sort of standard def, small, old television set. And we were concerned about that, but when we did the work, it actually came out really well, and when we felt like it looks really good on small television sets. Obviously, you have to make your fonts big enough and things like that, but those are sort of known values that that people have explored before in other games. The other thing we thought was very important, a very important challenge coming to us, was the fact that Settlers of Catan is fundamentally a trading game. The heart of the game is negotiating with the other players, trading with them. I'll give you a wheat for an ore. No, I want two ore. So on. And translating that into a board game meant we had to, or translating a board game into a computer game meant we had to come up with a good interface for trading with other players. And that took a lot of time in the user testing lab to try some things out and put actual players in front of it, and they wouldn't understand it, and we'd have to go back and revise it again. And fortunately, after two or three rounds of user testing, we found one. We found the version you'll see in the game today, which is that you sort of use the joysticks to just pop your resources into little piles. You have a want pile and a give pile. That's pretty easy to navigate back and forth. And we have the little arrows on the screen that sort of show which way the resources are going to go. And for whatever combination of reasons, once we arrived at that screen, that interface, suddenly the blind participants we put in front of it in our testing lab started figuring out by themselves how to trade and having a good time trading and so forth and so on. So that's when we knew, hey, we actually can make a successful trading game. And then we added on to that the what we call the ticklers, the little emote animations that you can do using the right button.
Yeah, tell some people about that, because a lot of people I've played with online, I don't think they know those exist. And tell me about how you get there and what was the reasoning behind them.
Okay, so we have 16 of these ticklers, and they are ways of expressing different emotions to the other players without having to, for example, use the voice chat. Obviously, lots of people have the voice chat, and that has been a really cool feature of Xbox Live Arcade that has been that people have been enjoying with Catan. So we knew we were going to get that, but we also knew that not everybody uses that. Overseas, not everybody speaks the same language, and even if you do speak the same language, cool animations are cool. And we knew that people would enjoy having these other things that they could quote-unquote do to each other or offer to each other and so forth. So basically there's emotions such as happy, sad, scream. You can blow a kiss to somebody. You can point out somebody with a target and say, hey, that person's too far ahead. We need to put the robber on them. You can say how much you love the great dice rolls you're getting, or you can blow up the dice with dynamite. Lots of cute little things like that. The way you get to them in the game is the right bumper button, the RB button. You hold that down, and then you'll have a menu of four of them, and then you can use the D-pad to go to other menus of four of them, because there's four little menus. And then you just hit the button. There's one page of them that are targetable on other players, so you can target that person's winning target on somebody, or you can blow them a kiss, or you can throw a fireball at them. And then the other pages are animations that happen or particle effects that happen on your own avatar, so you can express yourself by giggling or gloating or smiling, things like that. And that animation appears above your avatar on everybody's screen.
So, you know, that just adds a nice layer of the social element of it to the game, because, you know, normally when you're playing Catan, you're sitting around the table with each other and looking each other in the face. So this kind of allows you that level of it. What I want to talk about now, Brian, is I want to talk about what it was like, again, taking this really well-loved game from around the world, making a really successful version of it online, but more importantly, working with the founder and the developer and the creator of the game. What was that like, working with Klaus?
Well, that was exciting. So Settlers of Catan was designed in the 90s, I believe 95, by a guy named Klaus Teuber, who is now a famous board game designer in the area of these Euro games. And, of course, Settlers of Catan is the best-selling Euro game board game of all time. He lives in Germany, but his son actually lives here in this country in the San Francisco Bay Area and kind of runs the Catan business in the U.S. So I met his son Guido Teuber first at E3 last year, and we hit it off. We brought our concept art and talked about all the stuff we could do, and that was great. And so then we started the project, and I guess Guido Teuber mentioned to me that his dad, the original designer, had thought a lot over the years about an artificial intelligence for the game and how you would make interesting computer game opponents and ones that would be able to play the game well, so that even if you're not playing multiplayer, you could have some really top-class opponents. And would we be interested in perhaps seeing some Excel spreadsheets that he had made on the subject? And I'm always very excited to get free stuff. and I've always been a big fan of this game, so any chance to work directly with Klaus Teuber on anything sounded like a really exciting honor and privilege and would be a lot of fun. So I said, oh, absolutely, he should send them right over. And he did, and what he sent over must be the most complicated and detailed Excel spreadsheet I've ever seen in my life. I don't think I've ever seen that many worksheets in an Excel spreadsheet, and he had little diagrams that showed little different parts of the map and different colors, and then it would extrapolate from that. And basically it was a way of communicating ideas and insights he had about how to play the game well that he had gathered from years of seeing the tournaments of Settlers of Catan, from playing it himself, from thinking about the game design, and from designing the various follow-on games that he did. And these were just fantastic for us in kind of getting us past the part where we would have had to reinvent the wheel.
Sure.
So we were able to jump right in with starting to implement some of Klaus Teuber's basic ideas. Those we got in really fast, and then we were able to spend a lot of the time that we would have had to spend just developing some of the basics on taking it to the next level and on making the personalities interesting and different from each other. And making sure that at the really top level, the players who play against difficult opponents were going to have a really tough challenge.
So I want to talk about the AI for a second, because I've read that Klaus
Sure.
has actually been beaten by some of the AI playing the game, which I find interesting. But I also want to talk about, can you walk me through each of the individual AIs and kind of what some of their qualities are? So that, you know, obviously there's a full multiplayer version of the game, but if you don't have anybody online on your friends list to play on Xbox Live, you can just instantly whip up a game of three AI against yourself. And I want you to tell us about the
Right.
the different AI.
Okay, so the different AIs are based on, first of all, sort of historical personality. So there is an Alexander the Great AI, and there's a Sun Tzu AI, and you can play against I'm gonna risk naming some from our still to be released download pack.
Sure. I want to talk to you about that towards the end
right.
of the show, but we'll
right.
go ahead.
So the Queen Elizabeth of England AI and so forth. Each of these AIs has several important characteristics. First of all, it can be either an expander or a concentrator, and an expanding AI likes to take over a lot of territory quick, likes to make a lot of different settlements as quickly as possible, whereas the other ones like to stay in one place and build their cities up.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an emphasis on do they first start with more settlements, or they first try to turn their maybe one of their they prefer to maybe turn their initial settlement into a city. They each have a favorite strategy, and the favorite strategies possible are try to get the longest road, try to get the largest army, and try to get the most total revenue. And so they will pick one of those areas, and they'll tend to concentrate a little bit more on that. Let's see. They have a favorite resource,
mm-hmm.
Which can either be brick or ore, or they can be neutral. And the reason we pick specifically brick or ore, because those are the two that only appear on three of the lands in the game, so they tend to be more rare. Brick is obviously an ingredient in roads and settlements, which help with expansion and getting the longest road card. Ore is an ingredient in cities and development cards, so it's an important ingredient for if you want to build cities or get the largest army card. And so obviously picking which one is your favorite there will tend to imply a certain strategy. They also have an adaptability, and the more adaptable an AI is, then the more it's willing to consider its building its second choice thing if it doesn't have the resources for its first choice thing. So adaptable AIs will have several possible plans going, and it'll maybe have a primary strategy, but it'll also spend some of its resources pursuing a secondary strategy, where a non-adaptable AI will be picking one main strategy and really driving hard toward that goal. When you play a game, you normally have three AI, sometimes two if you only play a three-player game. You would have three opponents, so you could have, you would normally have three different personalities playing against you, which of course increases the challenge for the player in the sense that you'll be playing against players that are going about the game in different ways. Some of them will be more and less willing to trade certain resources. Some of them may be competing against you and the things you're trying to do, and so forth. Of course, then the most important, perhaps, aspect of the AI is the difficulty level you select, because there's easy and moderate and hard. The easy AIs will pretty much trade you any resource they have in their hand for any resource you have in your hand. So they're basically designed to be really easy. And if you can negotiate a trade, it'll make a trade with you, and it's not going to worry too much if you're getting ahead about of it and so forth. The moderate AIs are a little bit less willing to just trade you any old thing, and they'll pay attention after a certain point if you're getting way ahead of them. They will also be a little bit more competitive with you for the good resource spots. Like, there's a finite number of places that you can expand to and build settlements, and some of them are better than others. Some of them have the resources everybody wants, or are more likely to produce resources than other places. They'll be more competitive for that. At the hardest level, they play the best game we could possibly program them to play. One interesting note is that in my own experience, this is very anecdotal, but in my experience, I've had the hardest time beating the Alexander AI.
Interesting.
So if you want kind of one of the biggest challenges, play on the hard level and make sure one of your opponents is Alexander. Don't set them all three to that, because if you set them all three to that, well, then they're all playing exactly the same strategy, and they'll compete with each other, and then you'll be able to, like, kind of do other strategies that they aren't doing and probably beat them. It's easier to beat three Alexander AIs than to beat one.
Do you know?
So one Alexander AI and two other AIs, maybe a Sun Tzu, so you won't know what he's doing because he's very unpredictable, and somebody else. That's a pretty hard game.
Do you know if it was there. Do you know if it was Alexander that beat Klaus at Catan?
I do know that Alexander has been good at beating him. The fun moment with Klaus was when I first sent him the first prototype of the game that finally had AI running in it and everything. This was probably back last July or so, and he wrote me back a couple days later, "Wow, I had to play four games to beat it." Uh-huh. And that was before we had the different personalities in there quite so explicitly. But basically, I'd say that Alexander is the hardest.
I want to get back to the game design a little bit. I know there's been a few different electronic versions of Settlers of Catan.
That's right.
Did you look at those at all, or did you study them and say, "I like this" or "I don't like that" about this version, or did you really just kind of go in there with a blank slate and wanted to do your own thing because you played the game so many times?
Well, we did play them. We looked at the different games that were already out there. Now, understand that most of these games were either web-based or Windows-specific games.
Okay.
So they were all driven around a mouse interface, and that's very different from what we're doing on the console with the controller. Second of all, none of them were ever intended to have anything like none of them ran on kind of a next-gen platform that had 3D graphics or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The Even the best of them just kind of present you with a top-down 2D view of the game map. And so we knew we were going to try to really take the graphics to a new level, giving you the sort of three-quarters overhead view, letting you spin the map in 3D, zoom in and out of it at will, and so forth. So there were some, we knew there were just, even just the look of it was going to be really different to try to give it that flashy console experience that adds that extra, you know, amount of quality to the playing a game on Xbox 360. Apart from that, we certainly looked at different interfaces people had come up with for things, at least in terms of the display of the map, since obviously we knew we were going to do something radically different for the controller interface. And I think there were certain parts that we were inspired by. I remember liking the fact that there was a way in the MSN Zone version to see how many resource dots were on every settlement vertex and things like that. Mm-hmm. One thing that we realized in sort of a negative way about all the other versions were that we felt like none of the other versions allowed you to see all the information you need at all the times that you need the information, that you always were getting stuck in these modal menus somewhere, and then you couldn't get back to just find out how many cards you had in your hand or something like that. And so we created, this was a way that we used the controller in a neat way. All four of the triggers, the trigger and bumper buttons on the controller,
yep.
Each of them brings up a different display of some interesting information, like holding the left trigger down brings up the cost of every possible resource, and holding down the left bumper brings up kind of a general table of all the resources that are in the game right now and who kind of has how much revenue and so forth, and so on and so forth. And then there's even combinations of if you hold any two of those down at a time. For example, if you hold both of the right buttons, the right triggers down at the same time, then you'll get a statistical bell curve for the dice roll, so you can see, oh, it's been rolling a lot of fives, but it hasn't been rolling a lot of eights, and I call that the whining about the dice roll screen, and it's actually really popular with players, and they like that stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was looking at the, you know, when I first was beginning to learn how to play, that, you know, it's the board game is fairly complex. There's a lot. It's a simple game to learn, but it's like any good game. It's difficult to master. And I noticed that's what I liked about this, is that when the presentation was so beautifully pure, and then you could quickly hit the left or right trigger or the bumpers to bring up what you needed the moment you needed it, and then as soon as you let go, it was gone. It was almost like little flashcards. It was very well done.
Exactly. The idea was, first of all, we wanted you to be able to access any piece of information from anywhere. Like if you're on the trading screen, you can pull the right trigger and it immediately brings the map back, and you can look at the map in full color and see what you need to do, and then you let go and you're back on the trading screen. So you don't have to try to memorize anything, because we don't think memorizing is really all that much fun for most players, at least. So we wanted you to be able to get to anything anywhere. And we, even more importantly, we didn't want to clutter up the screen all the time with lots of tables and numbers and how many cards and this. We tried to make everything we possibly could be an object in the world. So rather than having a number that says how many development cards you're holding in your hand, you have four pictures of development cards, and they look like a hand.
Right.
Rather than have to have a number that says how many resource cards the red player has, you see his hand right next to his avatar, and it's got three resource cards sticking out of it upside down, and so you know he's got three. And all across the game, we tried to just get numbers and text off the screen, and then of course anything you want to look at, you can always just hold down one of those buttons and exactly the information you want is there for exactly as long as you need or want to look at it. So there was definitely a lot of work in figuring out, well, which are the most important pieces of information, let's put those on the triggers, which are the secondary pieces of information, we'll put those on the bumper buttons, and then lower information for people that really want to master the game or study it goes on, kind of tends to go on combinations of more than one.
Yeah, it's very well done. It's very clean. It's almost so clean that when you first join the game, if you just downloaded the demo version, the free demo version off Arcade, it's kind of a little daunting if you've never played the game before and you've included a wonderful tutorial. What are some of the tips that, you know, from somebody who's played the game for a while yourself and that has now translated and you created the game for the online, what are some tips that you can give some of the newer players out there?
Okay, well, definitely, first of all, if you're new to Catan, then a great thing to do is just do that learn as you play, because it's a lot more fun to just jump right in the game and immediately start playing and then have the computer kind of gradually show you the little different things you can do rather than trying to go, like, read all the rules in the how to play thing. Obviously, you can go back and do that later if you're interested. We have a nice little visual rule book there in the game, and it's not that complicated. Catan, the board game, has rules that you can, you know, read to yourself in 15 minutes if you read the rule book. But take advantage of the fact that this is Xbox Live Arcade, and your Xbox is just waiting to teach you how to play right away in a really fun. You start a game and dive right in, and dice start rolling, and you start trading, and it'll all come to you a lot faster. So absolutely, number one recommendation, do that. When you start, once you're ready to start playing the AI or get online and go in multiplayer, it's definitely worth trading with people because in some ways, Catan at the beginning is a cooperative game. You're all trying to settle this island because nobody is going to easily be able to expand quickly alone because you're going to have strengths. Maybe you got a lot of the wood supply and somebody else got a lot of the brick supply, but it takes both wood and brick to build a road. So go right to that trade screen and offer one of your wood and see if anybody will give you a brick, and that's a much faster way to get your road built than wait for a really long time for a brick to come to you when you don't have a lot of ways to get a brick from your own settlements. So definitely take advantage of the trading, and at the very beginning of the game when you're placing your settlements down, because you get to put two of these settlements down, and those determine which resources and how much you're going to make at the beginning of the game. There's little dots on the map next to the number chits, and the number of dots kind of reflects how often that tile is going to produce resources when the dice are rolled, because, of course, you know, if you roll two dice, it makes eights and sixes a lot more than it makes twos and twelves. That's also sort of the principle in a game like craps or whatever.
Sure.
And so if you just count those dots and add them up on any particular spot that you're thinking of putting your settlement, the ones with the highest numbers, the ones with the most dots, are going to be the best ones in the long run to produce the most resources. So those are some good hints to get started.
I need to ask you this, because when I was playing it, you know, somebody when I was playing an online game told me about switching the skin so that I can get a different board. I want to talk to you about that.
Ah, yes.
Tell me the story behind the main board and the alternate board, and then more specifically, what's the deal with the dancing robber?
Ah, the dancing robber. Okay, yes. So there are two skins that you can access in the game, and they are radically different from each other visually. And you might say that we did it because we thought that there really were two different kinds of people that might like to play the game, and they'd like to be able to experience it in different ways. So, first of all, there is what we call the default skin, and it looks like you're playing a board game. It looks like you're playing a pretty board game with wooden pieces, but it's a fairly simple treatment of the Catan components with nice bright colors that are easy to tell apart and work really well on your video screen. And you can rotate the map in 3D and zoom in and out and play the game, put your pieces down, play the whole game, and stay on that skin. But we also wanted to try to fancy it up a little bit for players that wanted to see a little bit more animation while they played and wanted to see a little bit more 3D of an experience. So we made what we call the Living World skin, and you can go right to your options, change the skin over, and play on the Living World. And in that mode, the hills actually are sort of vertically rise out of the map, and you see little sheep in the pastures and things like that. And, of course, the robber is this big colonial piratey-looking guy standing in one of the areas. And when somebody puts the robber on you, he dances and gloats, and he's pretty excited that he got to go steal from somebody and so forth. So he got to be a little bit more of a character in the game in the Living World map. And so obviously we know that some people that play board games are going to want a more schematic representation. That's also a good way to just learn the game in the first place. But some people we thought would like a really fancy 3D presentation.
So something that you really could not do in the board game. You know, you've got actual little animated sheep grazing on the plains there. You can't do that in a board game.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the skins, and you mentioned earlier about some downloadable content. Can you just give us a little hint about what we can expect? I mean, the Settlers franchise, there's so many versions of the games, and I want to just ask you about the skins and maybe what you've got, what have you got in plans, and could we maybe see some of these expansion packs?
Okay, yeah. So let's first talk about downloadable content that people will be seeing in the near term, you know, in the short-term future. Stuff that's already up there includes there's a theme that you can theme your Xbox dashboard to Catan.
Yep.
There is, I think it just came out about yesterday or so, some gamer pictures.
Yep.
And then two more things I know are coming are. There's a downloadable pack of new AI personalities. So when you get tired of playing against the AI personalities we have, there's a whole bunch more you can download and be able to play against some new strategies that they'll use. There's also a Mayfair skin for the game, which makes the Catan Live have a skin that's the same as the art from the board game that players are used to.
So Mayfair, for those that don't know, is the company that distributes the Settlers of Catan in North America.
Exactly. So if you've played the board game, at least in North America, this will be the familiar art, the way the tiles look and so forth. You'll be able to download that. So that's the kind of stuff that's coming soon. There may be some different other stuff thrown in with that, but that's the basic idea.
Sure.
And then there's the separate matter of what about the other versions of Catan, like Seafarers of Catan, which adds being able to go out into the ocean, and Cities and Knights, which adds knights running around on the map and a special city card for everybody where they can do other forms of development. So these different versions of Catan, right now we haven't announced any plans to do any of that stuff. And basically our feeling is, well, Catan itself, as an Xbox Live Arcade phenomenon, is kind of a first-in-breed thing. The closest anybody's really done to it before this was, I guess, Uno, and that's just a card game. So it's at least sort of a casual game that you play in turns, and it has cards, right? Well, so that's about as close as that is. So it's a pretty new thing for Xbox Live Arcade. We think that players are going to really like it, and they're going to like some of these other Euro games that are eventually going to come out. But we just wanted to see how it does, and then we'll talk about whether and when it's a good idea to do these other bigger projects.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I know it's done real well in the top games that I publish a list each week on the blog, and it's doing very well, and I'm just, you know, I hope more people will take a look at it, because it really is a wonderfully designed game. Brian, I'm going to let you go in just a minute, but I like to ask this of all my guests. Do you mind, what's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Hot Sauce Boy right now.
Okay.
And I don't promise not to have secret other gamer tags, but I have been publicly playing Catan as Hot Sauce Boy, and I'm definitely happy to take anybody on when I'm online in the evenings and the early mornings.
Except Alexander. So great. Well, Brian, again, I appreciate you coming on, and maybe I can have you on again sometime in the future when we can talk more Catan. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
There you go. Thank you, Brian. You know what was really annoying about me during that interview is I pronounced it Catan, and then I pronounced it Catan, tomato, tomato. I don't know which the right way to do it is. Is it Catan or Catan? Anyway, great interview. Brian was just really interesting. I probably could have gone on another half hour with him. He was really interesting. It was great to learn about some of the AI that... They're actually working off of Klaus's notes to develop the AI, and Catan's doing quite well. If you look at the Xbox 360 top 10 list, let me just pull that up right now. It's in the top 10. It is number 7 on what people call the big boy list. Number 1 is Gears of War, 2 is Rainbow Six Vegas, 3 is Guitar Hero 2, 4 Call of Duty 3, Gras 2 is 5, Crackdown is number 6, 7 is Catan. Or Catan. Which way should I pronounce it? Catan or Catan? I'll let the community decide, since apparently I can't make up my own mind. Catan is at number 7. It's doing quite well. So you guys are really enjoying it. I get a lot of people inviting me into those games, and I do need to play some more, because I really do enjoy it. All right. Let's move forward with the show. It's time for Name the Game. Name the Game's the weekly feature that I have on the show, where I play a game clip from a Xbox 360 or original Xbox game, and you have to guess where it's from. Very simple. You email me, major@xbox.com, with the subject line, Name the Game, : your guess, and then in the body, put your gamer tag if you have one, and optionally where you're from, so I can track where my listeners are from. And then we have a little bit of fun here. I pull a winner, and they win a prize. So here's the name of the game. It's actually the third week now that I'm using this one, but we're going to pay off on it this week. Here's name of the game, the most recent name of the game. You know what that is. That's Earth Defense Force 2017, EDF 2017. I've been talking about the game elsewhere for the past couple weeks, so a lot of you did get it. I talked about last week how no one got it, because apparently a lot of people had sent me the right answers, but they ended up in my spam folder. I mean, I get 1,000 pieces of email a week, and probably just as much spam, so it's kind of tough for spam filters to sift through it all, but EDF, it was the correct answer, and the winner for Naming Game this week is... Clavius239, that is his gamer tag, Clavius239, congratulations, you grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset. Well done, my friend. I'll be in touch with you to get your address, and we'll send that out to you as quickly as possible. And that makes way for the next Name the Game. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email. My email address is major@xbox.com. Major@xbox.com, and the subject line, put Name the Game, : your guess, in the body, your gamer tag if you have one. And good luck. I take all the correct answers, throw them into a pool, and pull out one to make them the winner. So if you think you know what that is, drop me an email. And also feel free to email me for whatever your questions or concerns are at major@xbox.com. And I can't respond to everything, but I do try to respond to as many as I can. So keep that in mind. All right, we're getting into the home stretch of the show here. I want to talk about gadgets. This is an interesting gadget. There's a Japanese, this is why I love going to Japan, because I always try things that are differently. There's apparently a Japanese vending machine that is going to offer free drinks if you stand there and watch your ad. Does that make sense? So imagine if you're able to go up to a Coke machine and say, hey, I want to get a Sprite, and in order to get that Sprite, you can either pay,
Or if you want to, you can just sit there and watch an ad. Now, of course, in Japan, not all the drinks are free. They're only going to offer, and then maybe some advertisers are just offering a discount. But it sounds like an interesting way to get a free soft drink for just standing there watching what would assume to be a video ad. So that's kind of cool. You know, this is the part of the show where, as I said, where I usually talk about gadgets. And one of my recent, now this is not my phone. I'm always talking about my phones, but this is not my phone. But this particular phone that I have access to was given to me to borrow to go down to LA is the HTC S710. The HTC, where is it?
Where are you? Here you are.
So this is the HTC S710, which is a smartphone. You know, I'm always using these smartphones, but this is an interesting phone because it allows, it's basically like what they call a candy bar style phone. And I'll put a link up to HTC.com so you can kind of see this. But what's also cool is you flip it open sideways here. Flip it open. And you can use a sideways keyboard on it. And then when you flip it sideways like that and off, it does that. So that's the sound it makes when it turns sideways. But the HTC S710, very cool. I'm going to be testing that out this week. The keyboard is just a little bit wider than my dash. For some reason, I always end up going back to the dash. Love the dash. Don't know why, but I always seem to go back to the dash. Let's see what else in gadgets that's out this week. This may or may not interest you if you're a Hotmail user. There's a new Hotmail user interface that you should probably go over and take a look at. This is it's got a bunch of, improved spam protection. Why did I mispronounce that? Spam protection, 2 gigabytes of storage, it's fast, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, go over and take a look at what's now called Windows Live Hotmail, because we love to make names nice and complex at Microsoft. Windows Live Hotmail. So if you're a user of that, you should go. If you're using Gmail, well, go ahead and stay at Gmail. All right, still looking forward to see what we're going to be doing in New York when I get out there in June for the Pac-Man World Championship, seeing if we can put together an Xbox Live, maybe a tri-state member meetup, and I'm looking for a couple of people to help me coordinate that because I'll be too busy with the event. So I think I got a couple of people to do that. I think so. You know who you are. And then, like I said this week, I am headed to Hollywood for the Halo 3 Beta Celebrity Event. Promises to be quite the interesting time. So I'll see if I can get some interviews for that. I'll definitely have some interviews up on Xbox.com. And as usual, I'll take the interviews and I'll put them into my iTunes stream so you can download them and slap them on your iPod. So there you go. That's fun there. So I'm going to wrap the show up right now. I want to thank you for downloading the show. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing me with a secured and assured hosting environment. And also thanks to the good friends at CashFly for their services for making my my show available pretty much anytime you want, even this one. If you want to go back and listen to it again, it'll be there. So months from now, they archive it. So this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. As I said, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, if it's Mother's Day in your area. If not, then have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. So we're sitting here. It's Mother's Day. Talking to my mother. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Larry.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You don't want to do this, though, right?
Well, I'm not totally sure.
So we're talking about technology. Actually, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about your Nintendo DS.
Oh, my Nintendo DS. Oh, yes, brain age.
What'd you get your brain age down to?
Well, maybe if I get it down to 80, I'll be doing good.
You can get down much lower than that.
Yeah, I think I can. But, you know, I have a granddaughter who just likes to take Smokey for a walk. Smokey is one of her Nintendogs that I think she comes to visit me to play with.
Yes, she does. So you have your Nintendo DS. What other games are you going to get for it, do you know? You got Brain Age, Nintendogs, anything else?
Super Brain Age.
Super Brain Age, okay.
Super Brain Age, and I think that's about the only one. I mean, you know, it's Brain Age Academy, yes.
Big Brain Academy.
Big Brain Academy. But it is the rage on all my lady friends. They all have to get, one of them actually got her brain age down to 22.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I guess I should have that as a goal.
All right, so let's talk about your computers.
My computers.
Okay. What do you have at home?
I have a desktop in which I rebuilt 4 years ago, rebuilt again 2 years ago, and I have two hard drives on it. I have one.
You're dual booting.
Dual booting. I have Vista on one, and I was a beta tester, but got frustrated with it. But on my big hard drive, the 160 gig, I have XP. And then I have a laptop. We have dueling computers.
You do, and you have a wireless at your house.
Yes, I have.
You have broadband.
Yes, I have wireless. I have broadband. And all the fast loading. It's really great to go shopping.
Well, that's one thing it's good for.
Yes. I buy shoes. First time I bought shoes online. So that was fun. That was an experience. I got them. Then I had to send them back.
Okay. Do you want to tell us about anything else? Let's talk about your want to talk about the remote control we got you?
Oh, the remote control. Yeah.
The Harmony?
Yes, the Harmony. And you came down and you programmed it, which was great.
And then your sound system broke and it doesn't work anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
You have 5.1 in your house and you're going to get the flat screen, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get a flat screen, and I guess when this visit is all over and I go back to Florida, then I'll just have to think about what we're going to do with that. Dismantle the whole system and get a whole new system, or try to salvage parts of the system that don't work.
You should just get a new one.
Yeah, well, you always say that.
We need a nice, like a 50-inch LCD up there on the wall.
Well, good heavens, what do you want us to do, sit out in the yard?
No, but it'll be good to have. You don't have high def yet, do you?
No, I suppose according to your standards, we live in the dark ages, but we manage.
Okay, well, we're going to stop now, so I'm just going to say Happy Mother's Day because it's Mother's Day.
Well, thank you, Larry. Thank you very much.
Okay, Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.